Oh, please come back to Noon Vale again.
Palin was waiting anxiously at the entrance to the path. At the sight of his friends returning, he did a small dance of joy, coupled with anxiety at the lumps and bumps raised by the bee stings.
Ah, there you are. Thank the seasons. Oh, look at you, Grum, all covered in swellings. What happened?
The mole smiled at his worried friend.
Boy, that be another story, Palin. Move aside so us can sit down and rest us weary bodies.
The three travellers slumped against a spreading sycamore. Martin shook his head in amazement, burying his short sword point down in the loam.
Thank you, Rose. That was marvellous. Who needs a sword to defend us? That's the second time you've won a victory with your voice. First as a sea eagle, then as a singer. You know, the strange thing is that I hardly noticed the bees. All I could hear was your song. I could have listened to it forever.
Palin made poultices of dock leaves, nightshade and mud.
Sit still now while I put these on your stings to cool them. Best thing in the world for stings. How's that?
Oh, you don't know how good that feels.
Martin sighed gratefully as the fire died from the stings on the Palin's ministrations.
All we need now is another song from Rose.
Grum spat away a bee sting that he had nipped out with his teeth.
Oh, yes! Miss Rosa be the nicest singer in all Noon Vale. Her daddy and I watch many a time while she's singing any birds out in the trees.
Rose was all a fluster. She jumped up and shouldered a pack.
It was only an old Noon Vale song. Every young creature there can sing it as well as me. Come on, you two, or are you going to sit there all morning?
The Mouse Maid set off down the path at a lively pace, with Martin and Grum bringing up the rear as Palin pulled stings from them.
That's it. Right there in the middle of my back. Ooh, that's better. Get that one on the side of Grum's neck.
Ouch! Go easy, Sir Edge Pig. You worse than any little pescus has put you on stingers there.
They made good progress that day, though the woodland grew high and gloomy as they traversed it. It was noontide, yet the sun could hardly be glimpsed through the high interwoven foliage canopy. Dim green light filtering down gave the path an eerie quality of unreality. Halting by a little brook, the four friends made an overlate lunch of apple scones, washed down with the cold sparkling water. When they had finished, Grum and Palin sat dabbling their foot paws in the brook, grunting and making small noises of happiness as the babbling water gurgled over their paws. Martin and Rose sat behind them, nudging each other and stifling silent giggles as they watched the pair enjoy their paddle.
I see you, beware.
Quick as a flash, Martin leaped up. Drawing his sword at the sound of a booming voice in the half-lit forest, he held up a paw, cautioning his friends to silence. They waited a moment, then the voice echoed out a second time.
Go back, small ones. Leave my path.
Who are you?
Martin shouted then, surprised at how the forest echoed and magnified his voice.
I am the bird. I see all. None can pass me. Go back!
We mean no harm. We are only travellers, trying to reach Noon Vale.
Leaning aside, he whispered quickly to Rose.
Keep him talking. I'll try and find out where he is.
Be still, all of you, for I am the Murdoch, born in a storm at the night of winter's moon. I see all. I slay all.
Placing her paws firmly together, Rose did a magnificent, harsh, grating voice, which rang and echoed wildly.
And I am Martin the Warrior. I have slain more than the hairs on your hide. I have defeated Umbala and Badrang. Let us pass.
There was more silence. Then the voice called threateningly.
One warrior is not to a Murdoch. I will eat him up.
Rose resorted to her own natural voice as she answered.
There is more than one warrior here. There are four. I am Rose, the deadliest slayer in Noon Vale. I eat Murdoch's for breakfast. What say you, Palin the Mighty?
Palin swelled until his stickles separated and shrieked out.
Yahoo! I am Palin the Mighty. I carry 1,000 swords. I too eat Murdoch's, though generally as snacks. Stay clear of me and watch out for my friend, Grum the Growler.
What is a Grum the Growler?
The mysterious made-up voice answered them. This time, Rose thought she caught a note of hesitation in it. The mole shuffled forward, brandishing his ladle.
I be Grum the Growler, a girt mighty beast. I make soup out of merpods and sandwiches from thy tail's horn.
I care not who you be. Go back or die, no beast passes the Murdoch.
Then there be Alice a first time.
Stand aside, I will go right over you.
Murdoch or no Murdoch, we're coming.
Stay back, keep away. I've caught foxes, battered badgers, whipped weasels, straddled stilts.
Over here, friends, hurry.
From somewhere up in front of them came a crashing and the most dreadful ear-splitting screams and yells. Rose grabbed a fallen branch and shook it fiercely.
The Murdoch must have got Martin. Come on, charge!
The three travellers rushed forward along the path to where the horrible noises rose to a deafening intensity.
Chapter 18.
Tullgrew and Keela threw themselves upon Feldo, hugging and patting the brave squirrel.
Ah, good to see your battered old face again, mate.
Aye, you're a sight for sore eyes, all right, friend.
Feldo winked at them cheerily. Helped by Tullgrew and Keela, Feldo battered aside two logs from the compound wall. It was difficult to keep the joyous slaves silent and orderly. Bark John and Hilgorse hurried them through, encouraging and advising quietly.
You get through, ma'am. I'll pass you the young'un.
Ha-ha! We're free, Bark John! Free as the air!
Not quite. Keep your voice down and hurry, please.
Hilgorse, can I take my bag of shells? They'll make good cups and platters. I've collected them for three seasons.
Leave them. We may have to run for it. You'd only be slowed down lugging that lot along.
Feldo and Keela had taken the two logs from the palisade, laying them against the back of the fortress main wall to form an easy way to the top. They lifted and pushed the slaves up to where Tullgrew waited with a stout kelp rope. One at a time, she swung them out over the top.
Now, I'm going to lower you down. Let go of the rope and jump as soon as you can. There's bedding mattresses down there to break your fall. Hurry now, we need the rope for the others.
In the midst of the bustle, Bark John found time to grasp his son's paw.
Feldo, I knew you wouldn't let us down. Where's Martin?
The squirrel hugged his father quickly.
That's a story for another day. Come on, let's free these slaves, old Bushtail.
For the first time in many a long day, Bark John grinned happily.
Old Bushtail yourself, whippersnapper. I'll wager you don't go over that wall faster than I do.
It was as they were laughing together that Droop shouted,
The slaves are escaping! Help! Come quick! They're escaping!
Badrang kicked over the banquet table. Hauling out the sword that had once belonged to Martin, he laid about him with the flat of the blade.
Gates and a compound, quick! I knew something like this would happen! Come on! Stir your stumps, you addle-brained scum! Move!
The tyrant's horde stumbled over each other, grabbing weapons as they rushed to do their master's command. Badrang dashed about like a mad beast, using the flat of his blade as a rod, smacking heads and paws with numbing force.
Hurry! Run! Are you deaf or stupid? Move, you mudworms!
Tram and Clog sat on the overturned table, still drinking and eating, a sly smile hovering on his greasy lips.
Oh, dearie me! The little slaves are all running off. Here, Grizzle, do you reckon it's because they don't like it here?
The tyrant cast a murderous glance at the Corsair Stoat.
This is all your fault, Clog. You and your magic rabbit with his performing friends. They've got something to do with this. I'm certain of it. Well, aren't you going to help?
Clog slopped kelp beer down his whiskers as he drank.
They're your slaves, mate. You see to them. I'm only a poor, honest wave beast who's down on his luck.
Quivering with rage, Badrang pointed his sword at the Corsair.
Don't worry, I will. But you look to those magic friends of yours and hold them here until I get back. I'm holding you personally responsible for them.
The tyrant dashed off after his horde. Balor glanced uneasily at Roanoke.
Do you hear that, old girl? Looks like we're in for a spot of bother, what? Plan number two, I'd say, eh?
Brom tugged the buckler's tunic.
What's plan number two?
Tis pretty simple, maester. When you be in trouble and the audience don't like ye no more, Denison's run for it like billy-o.
Roanoke began singing softly to the rambling rosehip players.
I think we'll call it a day. Back to the cart, I say. It's exit left without any pay. We'd be better off far away.
The company began sidling unobtrusively towards their cart. Clog staggered upright, throwing his drink down. he began tugging to free the cutlass from his waist sash.
Ahoy, Tibber! Old Ard there! Where do you think you're off to?
Completely unruffled, Balor made an elegant bow.
Love to say, old Clogger, old Stoat, but you know how 'tis. We need our jolly old beauty sleep.
Trammon tipped the wink to Boggs, Crosstooth and Gruzzle. In a trice they had the pirate crew surrounding the players. Clog licked the blade of his cutlass and closed one eye.
And all the time I thought you was me mates. It ain't friendly like running off so soon. How's about you doing one more bit of magic for old Trammon?
Balor gave the Stoat a large toothy grin and a wink.
Why, certainly, me old wave walloper. One more piece of magic just for you coming up right away. How'd you like to see me vanish the entire troop? Cart and all, presto, just like that.
Vanish the old crew, are ye?
That's what I said, old sport.
And the cart, too? And all of this whilst you're surrounded?
That's the ticket, Captain.
Ha ha ha! Tis impossible. But you carry on, matey.
Balor collected several hefty pieces of firewood and distributed them to the troop. Meanwhile, Roanoke harnessed herself to the cart shafts, the hare indicated by sweeping dramatic gestures that they all climb up onto the cart. When they had, he joined them.
Ladies and gentlebeasts, watch closely. As you see, we are all holding a large magic wand each. That is, with the exception of my good friend, the magic badger there. Now watch closely, please, as my old Uncle Flaubert used to say. The speed of the paw always deceives the eye, and more often than not, blackens it. Are you ready? 1, 3, 2, 4, whatever, charge!
The huge female badger threw all her weight and speed against the shafts, sending the cart forward like a runaway boulder on a mountainside. It smashed through the surrounding corsairs, sending them scattering like ninepins as the troop flailed and thwacked away at sea rat heads with their large magic wands. Clog was taken aback momentarily. Then he was up and pursuing the cart as it headed for the open gate of Marshank.
Stop him! It's a trick!
Balor caught Gruzzle a hefty blow, sending him ears over tail.
Of course it's a trick, old lad. I told you it was.
Tulgru gave a shout of alarm from the wall top as she saw the horde pounding towards the compound.
Look out, Feldor! They're coming!
Only half of the slaves were over the wall. Feldo looked around in desperation as Hilgors and Barkjohn came running to him. The horde were now pelting around the outside of the compound towards them. Barkjohn groaned aloud.
There's too many, and we have no weapons!
Feldo gritted his teeth.
At least half of us got away. Wait, this might hold them off a bit.
Grabbing a chunk of rock, he called up to Tulgru.
Throw that rope down!
Catching the rope, Feldo secured the rock to one end of it and began swinging it as he advanced on the horde. It took out several of them before they hurriedly backed off. The chunk of rock circled and whirred in a deadly blur as Feldo roared.
Come on! Who's next, you stinking bunch of cowards? Come on!
Get him, you dolts! Rush him!
Badrang howled with rage as he pushed his creatures forward. Grabbing a spear from a weasel called Rotnose, Badrang hailed it. Still swinging the rock, Feldo leaped to one side. The spear missed him but took Barkjohn through his shoulder. Immediately, Hilgors pulled the spear from his friend. The hedgehog was powerfully built despite his age. Wielding the spear with a strength born of desperation, he launched himself at the horde of foe beasts, plunging and stabbing wildly. In the narrow space between stockade and wall, they were driven back by the spear and the swinging rock. Hilgors stuck the spear in the ground by Feldo.
Give me the rope, young'un. Take the spear and get your father away from here. He's been wounded. Do as I say, quickly.
Feldo grabbed the spear as he felt the rope taken from his paws by Hilgors. Tulgru had climbed halfway down the two log steps on the wall, and between them they hauled the semi-conscious Barkjohn upwards. Two arrows found Hilgors as others clattered and bounced off the wall around Tulgru and Feldo, who had succeeded in gaining the wall top with the limp form of Barkjohn held between them. Bravely, Hilgors swung the rock, his strength failing as he shouted at the wall top.